Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and all right, now it's your one-minute performances about any performances that you have recently seen. Lloyd in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Lloyd. Lloyd, you there?
I did a triple header over the weekend. On Friday evening, I saw an amazing performance artist named Joseph Koeckler at La Mama, and he has an operatic voice, and he just does amazing things with it, which I loved. On Saturday, I was let down by John Malkovich, who did an opera performance called The Infernal Comedy at BAM. He was backed by an early music ensemble and two sopranos, and he was performing like a book tour of an Austrian serial killer, which is based on a true story, but it was just not theatrical enough for me.
And Lloyd, I'm going to keep it a time here. So there's Lloyd's shot at a one-minute performance about performance, as he had a presented culture trifecta over the weekend. Margaret in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Margaret.
Hi. I saw Priscilla, Queen of the Desert, at the Palace Theater on Broadway, and the actor who plays the older transvestite, Bernadette, which I named the character, he is such a master of comic timing. It is unbelievable. He talked to a group afterwards, and he said that you can never lose your concentration, but he is like a genius on the stage. And like every time he shows up, people are laughing. And just to witness his, his skill and his, training.
So like what? When you've been talking to your other friends about this, have you been sort of doing him a little bit?
I sometimes find myself standing like he does in on the stage, or talking, saying things like "hello possum," or imitating his Australian accent.
Thank you very much, Alex in Queens. You're on WNYC. Alex, what'd you see?
Yeah, Brian, I had a really weird experience where I watched on Sunday King Lear with Sam Waterston, and then that night I went to Survivor Series at Madison Square Garden. And my wife, high culture, low culture? Oh, it's great culture. So I'm the wrestling fan. I like a little Shakespeare, but my wife knew more about King Lear, so she's explaining the story to me. And she's telling me, he was playing mad from the very beginning, but that's not usually what they do, and sometimes they do it differently than that. And that was the beginning part of the day. And in the second part of the day, I'm the one, showing her, no, this is what they're doing. They're setting up the match. He's the heel. He's the face. His real name's this guy. They're really married to this person, and just it was a very interesting day. I got to share something with my wife. My wife got to share something with me. And it was just beautiful.
Great story. Tom and Seabright, you're on WNYC. Hi, Tom. What'd you see?
Tom and Seabright?
Yes.
Oh, good morning. Thanks. I saw Fragments, a series of Samuel Beckett plays at the Baryshnikov Theater, and it certainly lived up to the blurb in the playbill. It looked into the filthy abyss of human existence. It was a series, three plays by very short plays, of Fragments of Beckett's plays, where he has this sad sack, clown, slapstick, addled, crippled, blind people alternately abusing each other and caring for each other. And a lot of the people in the theater at the time were saying, why do people go to see a play like this? And, because you can't say it's entertaining, but it was enlightening, and it reminded you maybe Beckett really is really on point about what life and people really are.
Thank you very much. James in Melville, you're on WNYC. What'd you see, James?
I saw War Horse at the Lincoln Center Theater.
Uh-huh.
And I have to say, it's like a children's book for adults, and the puppetry in the show is absolutely extraordinary. And, they tell the horrors of World War One through the lens of a young boy looking for his horse who was wrongly sold into the British Army. And absolutely stunning production. You'll get the chills throughout. And, their use of music was a surprise. I had no idea there'd be music within the play. But really extraordinary moments, and I would recommend anyone go see it before it leaves the theater.
Thank you very much. Ronnie in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. What'd you see?
Hi, I went to Jalopy, which is a wonderful venue in Brooklyn, in Red Hook on Columbia Street, and I heard an extraordinary virtuoso named Andy Statman. He plays mandolin and clarinet, and he plays both klezmer and bluegrass, of all things. And he's just magnificent. What a virtuoso. He incorporates jazz into both of those and writes original compositions. And I highly recommend Andy Statman to anybody who loves music.
Fabulous. Thank you. Jazz and bluegrass combo aficionados. I don't know, maybe we can combine that with the Shakespeare World Wrestling Federation outing and make it the soundtrack. Daniel in Greenpoint, you're on WNYC. Hi, Daniel. What'd you say?
Hey, how are you? On Friday, a friend and I saw a band, Turbo Negro, from Oslo, and they're kind of a punk rock, village people, biker gang kind of band. It was really rowdy and lots of sort of beer spilling on people and denim vests, and it was a very weird crowd and really good, loud time.
Cool. Thank you very much. Edgar in Glen Cove, you're on WNYC. What'd you see?
Yes, this is not exactly a performance, but it's a new New York City park in the former, it's still a meat market area, and there's still many meat purveyors there. However,
you went to the High Line.
The creative architecture of the redesign of the the High Line is absolutely remarkable, with the High Line going through new buildings, old buildings being refurbished, which were formerly warehouses, which are now high-end apartment houses. There are new shops along 10th Avenue and old Ganzevoort Street. The High Line is beautifully landscaped, and we walked all the way from 12th Street, old 12th Street, to 30th Street, which is where it ends now. It'll be continued up to the Javits Center eventually. On the High Line, there are benches, there are chairs, there are chaise lounges, there are all kinds of places.
That's great. Edgar, I'm going to have to leave it there for time. But Edgar comes in from Glen Cove, walks the High Line, and takes back total enthusiasm about Lower Manhattan to the North Shore. I love it. Janet in Maplewood, you're on WNYC. What'd you see?
Iron Curtains, which is about Khrushchev's Soviet Union. They're putting on a musical about successful farmers. And Khrushchev hates it and tells the KGB to kidnap a couple Broadway producers. So they get two hopeful kids who have a show which sounds like Damn Yankees, so they haven't broken into Broadway yet. When they get there, they have only a few days to put together a new show, and if they don't do it, it's Execution Squad. So they come up with this idea. They're going to take their show over there and rewrite it. So the first number is Damnable Yankees. And it just goes on from there.
It's really damn. That's what
it's hilarious.
It's like the producers meets Nikita Khrushchev.
Yes, absolutely. It is just very sophisticated and, a touch of history and really fun.
Thank you very much. So because we don't have enough time to really do a full one, Janet in Manhattan also saw Iron Curtain. Janet, what's your 15-second essence of Iron Curtain that can add to Janet in Maplewood?
Well, I actually heard about Iron Curtain via John Schaefer's show, because he did a little segment on communist propaganda and musicals and art, etc. So I had to go see it, and it's at Baruch Performing Arts College Center at 25th and Lexington, and I recommend it. It is, you're falling over laughing.
Thank you. You have one line from it? Can you get one line in? Too hard.
All those damnable Yankees flaunting their freedom of speech.
And you, Janet, flaunting yours. Thanks to you. Thanks to all of you who called. Brian Lehrer on WNYC.